Welcome back to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. What we just heard there was Panama 500. That's the title track from the brand new album from Danilo Perez. And Danilo is here in the studio to talk to us about Panama 500 and about this brand new album that just came out on Mac Avenue Records. So, Danilo, thank you so much for coming by. We appreciate you visiting us.
Lydia, so happy to see you, especially after that festival, Panama Jazz Festival, in a warm weather, and now we see each other in the cold weather.
I know, it's okay, you know, but I definitely miss the sun. It's not the same. But yes, we did have a great time at the Jazz Festival, and a high point of the festival was your performance of Panama 500 that we got to hear at the theater, at Teneo Theater, and it was absolutely wonderful. So before we start to talk about the meat of this project, what we just heard was the title track. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what that title track means and about Panama 500?
Yeah, Panama 500 is how Panama celebrated 500 years since the Balboa discovered the Pacific Ocean. My take on this is to add the indigenous rendition of what it means, Panama 500, to then actually is a rediscovery. It's not a discovery. So one of the greatest sign and mission for this record is to portray Panama in the global world. How globalization really is. Panama is a pioneer in globalization, actually. Mm-hmm. Because the opening of this Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic allowed the whole world to connect in ways that didn't connect before.
Right.
And that brought a certain culture, a certain melting pot that Panama has been a pioneer, basically. And we have lived in this amazing influence from all over the world. So the Panama 500 is the 500 years celebrating the discovery of the Spaniards, celebrating the Pacific, when they discovered the Pacific Ocean. To me and to us in Panama nowadays, is the rediscovery of the Pacific Ocean.
Gotcha. So to put this into a work of music, this kind of historical, this rediscovery that you're talking about, how does this translate to this musical project?
Well, this it's almost like I wrote it almost like a soundtrack to the events that I picture in my mind, and basically start with this overture, and then goes into this section where I visualize the Spaniards going through the jungle. And then they go through the whole process and the passing from the north to the south. And even picturing then getting lost. There's part in the music that I asked the musician to actually play lost.
Oh.
And you can see how the indigenous, when the Spaniards meet with the indigenous, there is a little flirt between the cultures, and all of a sudden becomes like struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear that part when the music kind of calls from that. Then you can hear how the African also, because of that incident, also African were brought to America. And you see how all of that goes through the whole journey. And then at the end, I have indigenous people talking and narrating the events. And basically they said, you know, the land was given to us by our great grandfathers as a loan for us to live in peace. So I want to take it back to those basic principles of what are we doing here, what music is for,
right?
What kind of things we can learn from this event.
Sure. This is obviously a very ambitious project. This is just you speaking about it makes me nervous. So can you explain a little bit about what the creative process was like and how you took this material and tackled it to make it into this work, if that makes sense?
Well, you know, this is related to all the things I'm doing, the Berklee Global Jazz Institute, the Panama Jazz Festival. I think all of that play an incredible role for this. One of the things that happened was last year during the festival, I did a performance with Ruben Blades, a great national hero.
Sure.
And he has a piece that sounds like a national anthem. And I took that piece and put music on there. I think doing all of this, performing in front of 20,000 people, it gave me so much food. So when I came back to tackle my record, you believe it or not, the music I have some of the music in Panama 500 now, but some of the music I couldn't record it.
Yeah.
So I just canceled those songs and went into the trip because I was envisioning, wow, we're celebrating this year Panama 500, but we're also celebrating 100 years of the Panama Canal construction. Mm-hmm. So you see the role of Panama of connecting in the world, of bridging. Right. That kept thinking, that I kept thinking about all of these. And this is where that came from. And I went two weeks and a half in the basement and just wow. started writing music for this.
Yeah, cool. So what is it that you want the listener to take away from your project particularly?
Well, I would like to, as they listen to the music and they appreciate how globalization works in music.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same in economy and all the things, but in music, when there is that kind of world that we can build out of democracy, out of the values of many, many different things that we can bring in together. If we learn to accept and live in within a certain framework of respect, listening and all of that, music really shows you how we should relate to each other in the world.
Gotcha.
And this record is about that, how Panama has been at the pioneer of globalization,
mm-hmm.
how sounds from opposite, like, you know, I try to really portray the classical influence with the jazz influence,
mm-hmm.
with the folkloric elements, is all in there as a part of our culture. That's how we grew up.
Right.
And I would like my music to bring people together, you know, and bring joy to people's life in an optimistic way.
Sure. All right, well, let's listen to another track from the album. We're going to hear Reflections. So before we listen to it, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, this is after all the event, after all the challenges, going through the jungle and a lot of people dead and a lot of, exchanges and challenges. This is what, when I feel like sitting in the Pacific, listening to the ocean,
mm-hmm.
this is what I got from that.
All right.
Listening to the stories. I always tell the sea has the real stories.
I like that. Yeah, that's very, very true. All right, so we're going to listen to Reflections. You are listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. We're here with Danilo Perez, and we're going to be back with more from Danilo in just a little bit. But in the meantime, this is Reflections. Thank you. We're back on Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. We are here with Danilo Perez, and what we just heard was Reflections. The full title is Reflections on the South Sea, of the South Sea. This is from his brand new album, Panama 500, that just was released on February 4th, and it features his long-running rhythm section, as well as some special guests that we'll have Danilo discuss in a little bit. And we're here talking to him about this album and this amazing project. Danilo, what I would like to ask you is, on this album, what is the percentage of music that is your own, that is reworkings of folkloric music? What is that about here? Where does the music come from? All originals?
Yeah, it's all originals, and one piece that is, I did my my take on a piece. Actually, I put it on. It's called Panama, Old Panama.
Okay.
And the reason I put that is because we must never forget what happened in order to move forward. Mm-hmm. The lyrics are powerful. It's about how when the Spaniards conquered Old Panama, also brought a lot of, you know, not good news with that.
Right.
And the lyrics said that, and they're very powerful. So I didn't want to have an opinion on it. I just wanted to portray it as it was. So this song provided me the platform for me to create on the same feeling. So that's why I included it on the record.
Right. And everything else is your own original work.
Yes, it's all original music.
Wonderful. And as I mentioned, so this is featuring people you've worked with for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Adam Cruz, who plays with you in your trio.
Yeah, with two rhythm sections. Mm-hmm. The Adam Cruz and Ben Street rhythm section that I've been working with them for almost 10 years. And then Brian Blade and John Patitucci. Those are my chords rhythm section, with both developing different languages with both, and friendship and musical journeys together. And I added on top of that the strings, which meant sort of like more of the European influence, cello and violin. And then I use an Afro-Cuban percussionist connection with Africa, Brazilian and a Panamanian percussionist, plus the indigenous.
Right. So what would you say that all these different members of this project brought to the table? What did they bring into this project that is your idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben and Adam, I have been working with them in a language where they actually, what we've been, I would say, concentrating on naturally, is developing a language that takes the values of, for example, things like claves and claves in different meters and the concept of those, the way that the Bill Evans piano trio work with Keith Jarrett trio and different trios, and expanding that to our Latin American vocabulary. So using our heritage to be free with it.
Right.
So that's what we have focused with Ben. With Brian and John, I would call it the galactic excursions.
Uh-huh.
It's stuff that don't really have, a lot of time don't really have maybe a connection to something that we know, that we can put a finger on. But we have develop a language out of galactic journeys. And that's because of the relationship with Wayne. Wayne has taught us to do galactic journeys out of. And I feel like we have a language that I can only speak with then. And I knew I needed that. I needed that opposite, yin and yang in the record.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the Afro-Cuban brought a folkloric element that I needed. And the Brazilian percussionist also.
Yeah.
And the Panamanian. So there was this folkloric element very strong. The strings I needed because I am experimenting with different colors, and I needed, in the human path of this record I did, I wanted to portray that classical European sound, and the violin lends itself really well for that.
Sure. And that's featuring Alex Hargraves.
Exactly.
And
Berkeley Global, yes.
He's a Global Institute graduate.
Exactly.
So I'm just curious, do you think that Alex being part of the Global and then becoming part of this project, how do you think the Global Institute might have prepared him for this? Because the Global is joining you at this performance that you're having at Scholars on the 15th and the 16th.
Yeah.
So what would you say that the Global might have prepared, or how did he prepare Alex for this kind of experience?
Well, because one of our goals is to prepare people to be ready for the unknown. And a lot of the music has, we are connecting it. And they learn a lot about tradition in the institute. Like I have a workshop where I talk about connection beyond America all the way to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other connections also where they learn to be free and within certain contexts that are not 4-4 or so. They actually getting ready for something like that. And yeah. Alex actually have Ronnie Aiton is going to be touring with us in March.
Oh my goodness!
To Europe.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because I like the harmonica also to take over the sort of like the accordion, the violin and the accordion. Our music is important, so. I also have other players that I have in mind. I think my dream would be to that when once you are in a school and then you get out of school, it's the same.
Yeah.
The university of the street and the university of Berklee College of Music.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. And Ronnie, I'm sure, is really going to add some very interesting colors to the tour. So the performance that we're talking about is, again, the 15th and the 16th at Scholars Jazz Club, doing four sets in all, right? Two and
yes.
two. What can the audience expect from this performance? Because the way that you describe it and the way that, you know, the album is, it's a very full project, and now you're bringing it with a smaller group.
Yeah.
So how is that going to be for the listeners?
Well, I'm bringing the essence of the percussion, the strings, and the rhythm section. So we're going to have a full, on Saturday, it's going to be the Panama 500 band, mm-hmm. And what I'm really looking forward is for this music to take over in front of the audience in different directions,
yeah.
and see where we go with this. We played it once. That was the concert in Panama, and then I'm looking forward to see it mold and change and shift and grow
yeah.
in front of audiences. You know, so I'm really looking forward. And then on Sunday, that special event with Dr. David Carrasco and the Berklee Global Jazz Institute, we're going to be doing some soul searching together.
Right.
All of that. And they're going to be playing on their music too. And we play something together. It'll be a big party.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
A
Panama
very big party.
Comes to Boston. We're bringing heat and hot to warm the.
Please do.
And to melt some ice.
We definitely need it here in Boston. One more question actually about David. So can you explain a little bit David's role in this project? He did write the liner notes, and he's also going to be doing an introduction for you at Scholars. What part does he play in this whole thing?
He's crucial because he's one of the connoisseurs, an authority on Latin American studies. And, you know, his take on it is wonderful. He gave me an introduction years ago. He introduced me, and I couldn't believe. I never heard such an introduction.
Wow.
Because he connect to my music from the essential points of history, like the canal, the influence of Panama in the world. And it blew me away before I play how he was able to articulate the meaning of music to our role as a country in the world.
Wow.
And I've learned a lot with him. And so when the liner note came, I said, wow, this is not just about music. Mm-hmm. It's got to be somebody like Dr. David Carrasco. He's exciting to be with and a great, great, amazing Harvard professor. He's got a fantastic program going on.
Wonderful.
And he loves music.
That's great. That's very, very great.
And this is the part of the institute that we defend so much, which is the interconnective education.
Yeah.
You see?
That's great.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. Danilo, is there anything else that you would like to discuss or add about this phenomenal project that's going to be presented next week?
Well, I'm really excited about you know, your listeners coming down and enjoying with us a little bit of Panamanian culture with us.
Yeah.
There is literally my vision, of what I see Panama role in the world, but you got to come and experience that life. You got to come and be a part of this.
Definitely.
And you know, just grateful to be able to do what I love, and hopefully inspire more people to keep doing what they're doing.
All right. Well, Danilo, thank you for coming by. We really appreciate it, and this is an amazing project, and I am very excited about next week. So, listeners, please, again, Scholars Jazz Club. It is on Saturday night, the 15th at 8 p.m. That's the first set, and then at 10 p.m., the second set. And then the following day, on Sunday, 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and that will be joined by the Berklee Global Jazz Institute. Now, we're going to close up with one track here called Chocolito?
Chocolito.
Chocolito?
Melting Pot.
All right. So what is this? What
Chocolito
does this mean?
Is my son. And what I was trying to write a piece for this melting pot, he just came by and started basically nodding at me, going, "No, no, Daddy, it's about this." And he gave me, as I usually do, I just take ideas from my children.
Yeah.
They inspire me so much. And this music was written for him. And that's his piece. But as I was writing this, I was trying to write something that exemplifies our role, reaching out all the way to the Middle East, for example. Panama has provided even a space for, we have a very strong community from the Middle East. So that was the, I wanted to embrace that in my record.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is the way to do it. Just the, his body movement, his
body
motion.
How old is your son?
He's 3 years old.
3 years old. Perfect. Well, let's check it out. I am looking forward to hearing this one. So this is Chocolito from Panama 500. And again, Danilo, thank you so much for coming by. And we are going to continue with the show following that. So enjoy.